Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mat.
Hey, welcome back friends. We're coming from you live from Shannon's closet again.
Woo!
But this time we have guests. We have Paloma Thacker. And she's part of our tribe, and she, you might know her as Her Bendy Life on Instagram.
Yeah, she's actually one of my favorite people on the planet. Yes. But she also has one of my very favorite Instagram feeds as well. I check in daily, not just with my friend, but what is she doing in those little squares?
Her scrolling Instagram has a new friend in it too.
Yes.
Her Bendy Life has a Her Bendy baby.
Yes. She's kind of taken over Her Bendy Life lately, so.
Which is totally normal because that's, you know, once you enter a small human into the world, it's everything changes.
You know, it's amazing how such a small person can, like, totally hijack your entire life.
And I've never, it's always been, like, so funny to me to think that the smallest human in your house requires the most stuff. Like, there's more things the baby needs than any grown human I've ever met. I'm like, man, that's a lot.
And technology gets better and you need all of it.
All of it.
To keep you quiet, I need all the things.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know what people did before Amazon Prime. Like, Amazon Prime is life.
Yes.
Yes.
That's so true.
But then the other problem that that creates is, what do you do with all the boxes?
you send them over here and then we'll create stuff out of them.
Oh, right. Yes. It's true.
Clubhouses.
Pirate ships.
Spaceships. Rocket ships.
All the things.
Yeah. Yes. So Harlow Dove is in the studio. So if you hear some gurgles, it might be our tummies, but it might be also little Harlow Dove. So yeah. So our first guest also came with a friend. So we're really excited. So we're going to share a couple things. We're going to talk about P's, a beautiful journey into yoga, her branding, and how she's taken on mommyhood one step or
day
or
tower dog.
Yes.
One tower dog at a time.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. So if you don't follow Her Bendy Life, Paloma is super bendy but also super dedicated to yoga. So let's get started. How did you get into this crazy journey?
Well, let's see, where can I start? I actually ran pretty much my whole life. I started in middle school. And it was just kind of one of those things that I could take with me through college, through early adulthood. And along with that came really, really tight muscles, tight hamstrings, kind of worn out joints. And I had a good friend suggest that I go to a hot yoga class with her. And actually, the first time I did hot yoga, it didn't stick. Like, I absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going back one day when I just had like a really bad day and I just kind of wanted to do something for me, get away from the house. And for some reason it stuck that time. So I always tell people, if you don't like it the first time, give it another try. 'Cause that's how it worked for me.
Absolutely.
But then I just kind of fell in love with it.
Did the light bulb go off in that class? Was it like, oh,
no, it wasn't necessarily that class, but, I had several instructors tell me that you had to go every day to really start seeing the benefits. So I was like, I'm going to give this a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing the benefits after, I want to say after a good 30 days, just with my spine. I think I have a tiny bit of scoliosis. And so I always had kind of a sore back on the right side. And it really started to even everything out. And just the challenge. I think as a runner, you crave an intensity. And for me, since I started in hot yoga, it gave me that really intense cardiovascular workout that I really love or came to even find familiar.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that really drew me in. I think if I would have started in just a regular non-heated class, it wouldn't have stuck.
Those
benefits.
So I think
it's a little different for everybody. So that's kind of how I got started. And then once I did it for 60 days, it just became part of my routine. Mm-hmm. And then your whole lifestyle starts adapting around that. And then you don't know what life was like before yoga, which is kind of what it's like to have a baby.
Yeah. Very similar.
You got a yoga baby and now you have a real baby.
You just kind of adapt and then you're like, you realize you need that in your life. And then everything kind of moves to fit around it, I guess.
Right. Did you find that yoga really helped your running? I mean, did you see a difference in the
mobility? Yeah, actually, I noticed that I liked yoga so much that the running, when I was still doing the running, would actually, I would regress in my yoga. And I was so interested in finding out the full benefits of yoga that I didn't want to find any regression. So I started finding my hamstring started lengthening, my core started lengthening, everything started lengthening. And then when I would run, I would have to find myself like re-lengthening back to where I was before. So then I was like, you know, I don't think I need running in my life. Mm-hmm. And yoga was giving me the same like time alone, cardio, mental benefits.
Yeah.
Because I think runners could do really well in yoga because it's also very meditative.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's an alone.
You know, and it's funny you say that because I think that some runners choose running to get out, like they're really running from things. Like they can't sit, you know, in their own thoughts. And, you know, I know a lot of runners that can't run without music and it's like, well, why not? Like, you know, and like, well, there's so much in my head. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't listen to that all the time. It would be super annoying. So it is, I think it's really an interesting, you know, component when you go into yoga where you're not running from anything, but you're really forced to be in your own thoughts and, you know, deal with it. So.
Well, and hot yoga too has that cardio. Like it is the elevator speeches that we give students is that it does have that interval training aspect to it because the heat offers a higher intensity of your heart rate goes up, you know, your breathing goes up. So it did give that little punch and you were like, you immediately felt that. Yeah. So and you're you got a dose of that drug. You're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people come back to hot yoga too because that sweat factor is so intense. Like when you walk out of it and you're pouring sweat, you're like, wow, that I felt good. Like, I love that. And you start to crave that, you know, that sweatiness. And you're like, yes.
Yeah, it definitely draws a different student than the ones who do the non-heated form, which I've come to appreciate as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's funny you bring up the music thing because I never ran with music.
That's interesting.
It would start sounding really monotonous to me. And I think, you know, with yoga, it was kind of the same thing. I started with a really traditional Bikram yoga, or Bikram yoga, I guess is how you're supposed to pronounce it.
I still say Bikram. I still say Bikram. I know. I don't say it the right way
either. Since it was a traditional form, it was just that dialogue, which was not as... Even though it's so weird, even though it's the same dialogue over and over again, it was less monotonous to me than listening to, like, the top 40. You know what I mean?
No, I totally understand that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I think sometimes too it's the space that you're in that you start to appreciate that. So like if you are hearing the same songs over and over, you're probably in your car around the same time every day, so you're hearing the same thing and you're like it's like Groundhog Day. You're like nothing's changing.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me something new.
Exactly.
So I love that. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music I wouldn't be able to run with music. I'd run with a friend.
Kind of dangerous, too.
You know.
Like,
I
am like taking
your headphones out. Like, I mean,
I always loved music. Like, if I was running on a treadmill, like, that was...
Oh, on a treadmill. I guess it's not dangerous.
Yeah, that's fair. But I love, like, being outside. Like, it's really funny. Like, I remember being in my old neighborhood when I was running. There was always a house that was doing laundry, like, around the same time of my run. And I'm like, I love that smell of dryer sheets. Like, I'd smell it. I'm like, I know I have, like, 8 more minutes, and then my run's done.
That is
and
I'm like, great. I love that.
They probably had a newborn.
They probably did. yes.
It's the weird thing to pick up.
I know.
So you started in hot yoga, and then where did it take off from there? So you got super into it.
Yeah, so I actually started with hot Bikram, and then got really, really dedicated to that. So I started going every single day for several years.
Oh, wow.
And I somehow, I can't remember now, found out.
Is that who you,
well, it was kind of indirectly, but I found out about yoga competition. And I was really interested. Actually, it wasn't yoga competition. I found out that there was this, like, under the radar advanced series. And I felt like I was starting to kind of master some of the poses from the Hot 26. And I was so interested in learning these advanced postures, but nobody would teach them to me. There was nowhere you could go to find this. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the teachers who I really looked up to told me I wasn't ready, which made me want to do that even more. I'm like, who is somebody else to tell me I'm not ready to learn this? But I think it ended up being not an issue with my yoga, but something, an issue with them. But I ended up finding Glenn, I think on Facebook.
And who's Glenn?
Glenn Brown.
Enter Glenn into the story.
Hi, Glenn, if you're listening. Glenn is a yogi who lives over in Indiana. He actually just opened a yoga studio called Array Yoga.
Oh, okay. Cool. I didn't know that.
So I still need to go check that out.
Yeah.
Is it which Indiana, is really cool. Indiana? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's in Indiana. And I found him through, I think, the Yoga Federation's website.
Okay.
And I was like, he lives pretty close to me. I'm going to reach out to him. So I sent him several Facebook messages, and I never heard back. And so I was completely just, I'd given up. Like, I was like, okay, I guess this whole competition, advanced yoga series, thing yeah. is just not for me. And then I got a Facebook message from him, like, I want to say, like, 2 months later. And it was like, oh, my gosh. For some reason, when you friend requested me, I didn't get my messages. And that's happened to me before. Yeah. And he's like, the regional competition is next week. And would you be willing to come in? And I'd be happy to train you. And I was like, I'm not ready. Like, what?
You're like, it's a week.
But anyway, he's like, well, just give it a try. And if you don't feel ready, you don't have to compete. But otherwise, you know, just let's see just what you can do. Yeah. And so I went, and he was so nice. That's actually where I met our good friend Elizabeth, too.
Yes, because we'll, she was we'll meet Spears in later episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hi, so Spears. I trained with him for 2 days. Oh, 2 days.
He before was like, your let's first
see.
Competition.
He showed me. He kind of looked at my flexibility and showed me a few postures to see, like, what advanced postures I might be able to do. And I really just put together a routine and competed in the regionals that year and placed third, which was
that's
way
so
above
awesome.
What I thought.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Lots of bravery and lots. That's a lot of dedication so, really quickly.
And that was just so motivating. It was so nice to have a teacher finally see something in you rather than keep telling you that you're not good enough.
Right.
So yeah, so then after that, it was just, you know, then I found out he was, you know, would teach a lot of these advanced postures, started learning them from him, and then kind of went on my own little journey to train with Tony Sanchez in Cabo in Mexico. And he is actually, he was the studio, what was it, director for Bikram himself for 20 years. And he developed his own series called the Core 40. So Bikram comes from 26 postures. They come from a series of 84, which is like the entire advanced series. But Tony broke it down to 40 postures that were almost like an intermediate series.
Okay.
And so I learned
a lot of beauty in that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I went down to Mexico, didn't know a soul. I roomed with some girl from Germany. And he had such a different way of teaching than any other teacher. It was so much more about meditation, about we did 60-minute standing meditation every day.
Oh, my gosh.
No dialogue, no music. We would stand with our eyes closed. And it was so hard in the beginning. And then by the end of the week or by the end of the 10 days or 14 days I was there, we started craving it. And the last day, he's like, oh, we're not doing the standing meditation. And everyone was like, why not? Like, we were so just loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's where I started seeing kind of the softer side of yoga. And we would start with the standing meditation. We would start with Qigong, which is like a variant of Tai Chi, which a lot of more people are familiar with, which is a moving meditation.
And you do love that in your class, right? Like
I used to, but I think it takes maybe a little bit of this journey that I went on for people to appreciate it. And so in the hot class, I started noticing that I don't think those students were necessarily ready for that yet.
Yeah.
I think people were wanting to get more of that power type yoga, which is totally fine, because that's how I started with yoga as well.
You have to read the room when you're teaching, you know, what it's not about you. It's about what the students are craving.
Or you can give a little taste, I think, which I kind of used to do.
I always really enjoyed that in your class because you don't see it all the time. You don't really get it from anybody else in the studio setting. It's so just, it was like, yeah, I take this. This is really cool.
It just kind of slows your mind down.
It does.
Which is exactly what it's supposed to do. And I called that Eastern Fusion, but I don't teach that anymore. But maybe I should bring it back.
I think that would be great.
I would come.
Or you can teach like a workshop or something like that. For listeners that have never encountered Paloma as a teacher, I personally, she's one of my favorite teachers.
Absolutely.
Only for many reasons. Oh, not just because she's my tribe. Yeah. But she's super knowledgeable of those postures that you might not be well versed in, but she's going to give it a try. Mm-hmm. Like, put your hand here, put your foot here, and all of a sudden I'm in this beautiful pose. I'm like, this is amazing. So, yes, beautiful way of teaching. It's inspiring. Aww. So if you ever get a chance, you're in the Louisville area. maybe she'll have a YouTube channel someday. But it's super inspiring. So I love taking classes.
That's awesome.
Thank you. She always offers like a truth nugget that I'm like, I needed to hear that today. Mm-hmm. And
for someone who may not have been into music running, like she does have one of the best playlists for yoga. Like, like they truly, like I get so excited. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a song.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, that's a good one.
It's always a real treat. So, go ahead. So,
I mean, I just evolved from there and then went into more of this vinyasa exploration because it's more of a creative yoga. But I bring my beliefs from like the Ghosh lineage, which is what all of mm-hmm. that is from, to my vinyasa teaching, which is a lot about there being a correct alignment. And I know a lot of vinyasa is kind of like feel into it, see what your body. And for me, and the way that I was taught yoga, I don't think I would have known how to feel correctly into a posture. So I think it's, mm-hmm. with my philosophies and teaching, it's really important to guide, especially the new students. And you're a new student, I think, for a long time in yoga. I think some people
still
think,
feel like I'm new.
Yeah. Some days you should like always be a new student, really.
I mean, that's 100% agree with that.
Yes. A good point. So then I just started teaching vinyasa. I got trained in vinyasa by Cindy Lunsford out of Nashville, who is amazing. If you guys don't follow her on Instagram, like her inversions, I have never seen anyone, especially a female, have the strength to do inversions the way she does. I mean, there is just so much control, and she's just such an amazing personality. So I got trained in vinyasa through her. And then I've taught at a couple yoga studios. I'm teaching at Bend and Zen now, and I'm about to resume my class on Thursdays.
Yay!
If the baby can take a bottle. Oh, this has just been the struggle.
This is the struggle.
So Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. is the class that I was teaching and am hoping to resume. I think I can teach it regardless because it's only an hour. So
I think she'll be okay.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll just feed her right before.
We're just going to have to work that out.
I'm going to be like holding. My husband's going to be holding the baby in the lobby. I'm
going to
like,
need your mom. Hold on just a second.
While
you're meditating, I'll be right back.
I continued the competition journey. Actually, the second year went to, I competed, I went to nationals and placed in the top 10.
That is incredible.
I placed 9th.
Wow. And hopefully in the show notes we can link some of this stuff.
Yeah,
and I think their YouTube video.
It should be on there. I don't know.
I don't know if they keep the archives, but we'll try to find something and link it so you guys can see.
I've kept up with a lot of those people, which has been so much fun. A lot of them are having babies at the same time. Like one of the girls who was in the top 10 the year I was there had a baby a day after Harlow.
Oh, no way.
And then this, there's just been so many yoga babies. It's insane.
It's so fun.
Yeah,
it's good vibes.
So, yogi vibes. What do you think you've noticed most about your yoga practice after having a baby? Like, how has it been different for you?
It's 180 degrees different. It used to be about like getting in what I had in mind to get in, and now like I get in what that day gives me, and it's about finding, it's kind of taking me back to that softer side of yoga because I'm really happy if I get like some really passive, nice stretching postures in, especially when you're like feeding and carrying the baby, your back like, really takes a toll.
Oh gosh.
So it's not necessarily about like getting a workout. It's about more of like that meditation and doing something kind to my body versus kind of beating up my body, which is what I used to really like to do. But now I really like, that's the thing that like Harlow's taught me the most, is to learn how to like nurture. Like I'm so busy nurturing her, and when I have that time I want to nurture myself. I don't want to abuse myself.
Made a human, so like giving gratitude to that. Thank you, body.
Respect my body so much more, and so that's how my practice has changed. I don't force into anything. And even if it's like a posture I used to kind of be able to do at a higher proficiency, I guess if you could say that in yoga, I don't even know. I just kind of see what that day has to offer, which we say a lot in yoga, but like as hot yogis, like, do we actually do that?
Do you actually do it? And those, yes, it's been humbling a little bit I know for my practice recently, and Shannon, like, we've been really super busy, so our practices have been, like, a little bit postponed.
Very spurts.
Yeah. So, sporadic. So it is about that. I'm just offering gratitude. If I get into a downward facing dog a day, I'm like, yeah, this was a good day.
Yeah.
You know, I took those 10 minutes, maybe.
And sometimes those postures give me more than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, I don't know, even, like, standing in Tadasana, it sounds ridiculous, but, like, that felt really good the other day.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, just like grounding. Reaching up and like arching my back a little bit and just having a minute like that.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree with that. And I think you're really smart to listen to that, because I think a lot of people, they underestimate how much you have to, you know, just alter your state of mind and your body will change, you know, after having a baby. But like your mental space changes too. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you now able to mentally take on throughout your day? Because it's day by day, it's different. I mean, in my house, even now, like minute by minute, I'm like, y'all know.
Minute by minute.
Yes.
Totally. And yoga really is like a tool for what, I mean, it's not that doing that power stuff is wrong. It's a tool for whatever you're needing in that moment of life. And so you can kind of let it serve you.
But your power that day might just be a high plank. And maybe it's a couple chaturangas the next day or whatever your power wants to be.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You can be a warrior. Like,
always
warrior. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about Harlow's name real quick. So this is really cool. Yes. So tell us the meaning and behind it.
So Harlow Dove. So Harlow, it's kind of interesting. Paloma is a Spanish name. My dad's from Spain, and it means dove. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to do something meaningful with her name. And so George had even suggested Paloma. I'm like, I would never do that to her, you know. Nor would I want that for her. But I came across the name Dove as her middle name. We agreed on it as a middle name, and I just find it to be really sweet and kind of a little bohemian.
Yeah, whimsical. I definitely think it's whimsical.
Yeah, whimsical and kind of on trend with like these nature inspired names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we really want her to be like a strong female. Like George, I got him this girl power t-shirt. I never thought he would actually wear it. And he wears it all the time.
so cute.
And she has a girl power onesie, but it's her next size up. And I have like a tank top. So I'm like totally planning like the three of us going out like that one day. Harlow means army or rock, actually. It has like a double meaning in like Old English.
I didn't know that.
And
that is
so together, it means like peaceful army, like because a dove is a symbol of peace, or like she's like a rock. You know?
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
So yeah. So and then we like debated the E forever, like at the end of Harlow, because it can be spelled several different ways. But every time we wrote it out, we just liked it better with the E. And I'm not one to add like superfluous things. I usually like minimalistic.
Yes, and I will agree with Plum on this one. But she's not that kind of human.
No. Yeah. And so, like, I finally was like, you know what? Because she's extra. Guac is extra, and so is she. You know? Something about it just seemed right with the E, so.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
It fits her now.
She's extra spicy.
She is.
The other name we were debating as a first name was Posey. That was like another one. But then I felt bad because it was like Paloma, Piper, my pug, and then Posey. I'm like, I can't do that.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think about Piper. Okay, so we have to mention sweet Piper. So if you do scroll deep into past the baby pictures, you'll see a lot of Piper on.
What do you call it? Like creep deep? Or
deep like?
The deep like.
The deep like? Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. Don't you
scroll deep. No, you go for it. You go real deep.
Don't. You better be careful. You better be careful.
If you accidentally like something like 3 months ago.
You're like, awesome. But you'll see Piper, and she's amazing. So we have to give a little shout out to her because
she's the cutest pug.
She's been feeling probably a little.
She's a little sad. If anyone wants to like play with her, come on over.
You know what? I would be happy if she wants to go on a puppy play date. I mean, Georgie would love her. Like,
that would be
love
perfect.
They'd be like, hey, let's be friends.
She would love it. Georgie would be like, girl, you gotta keep up.
She's like, oh, you just want to stay here? Okay. You want my bone? My dog is spastic. Like,
oh my god,
crazy. I mean, it fits that she's my dog. Adorable. She's a lot of personality.
Yeah. She's adorable. She's now does not bark at me, but think that, like, I'm the only human that she doesn't bark at. She's like, oh, she's okay, like, you're here again.
You live here. You live here, Miss Brittany?
She'll escape over to my house.
She like, does. If I can't find her, I'm like, is my dog at your house? Yes. She came into the ride.
She comes over to our house almost every day. It's, yeah. And, like, as soon as the sitter, like, lets her out, she'll run right to my door. Yeah, right, she knows when the garage door's up. She's like,
oh, my gosh. What's she looking for, Baron?
Treats.
Yeah. This is the, it's the snack house. Like, my kids go to her house because the snacks are so much better.
See, as you,
I might go to your house.
Oh, yeah. So I have,
because you know the kind of snacks I like.
So they have, they're yes. Truck driver, top shelf.
Yeah.
So it's really funny. Yes. So Paloma and I have the same snack.
Yeah. Sour apple straws.
Sour beef jerky. Anything. Yes. Anything sour and sweet. And then.
And gummy.
Y'all are my friends.
And George likes back in
the day. Seriously. If you could get it at a truck stop.
Beef jerky. Funyuns.
All the funyuns. Pork rinds.
I love pork rinds.
Love pork rinds. Like, I'm like, yeah.
Like, all this stuff is vegan, too.
Yeah.
Except for the beef jerky.
Okay, so this is a good question.
You can get vegan beef jerky.
Vegan jerky from Heine Brothers. Yeah. They sell there. It's pretty tasty.
It's not bad. It's not.
I mean.
But I like the kind, like the Slim Jim. Like, I'm not going.
Like, with the government cheese connected to it.
Oh, yes. Like, that's what I love.
Like cheese that does not need to be refrigerated.
No, it's weird. I've never understood that. Like, how is that safe to consume? It's a plastic cellophane.
No, some of them,
they've done
like,
studies.
Right, the cheese, like, intertwined with the beef jerky. Oh. Like, that's the kind that I like. That's, like, old school. You can't really find that anymore.
You ate the hot dogs with the cheese growing up, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Did you, like, slice it discount. And stuff the cheese in there, or was it already made that way?
No, like, the bologna with the cheese speckles, we bought that, and we bought the hot dogs with the cheese speckles.
Okay. My mom used to cut the hot dog and then put the cheese in.
She was fancy.
It's because the other shit was... We cuss on this all the time, so if you got to drop some things, it's fine.
Good.
The other hot dogs were more expensive when you got the shit in it. So she's like, no, we'll slice it, put that Velveeta in there.
Like, oh, my gosh. I was so low budget.
Easy cheese.
Like, I wanted everything so cheesy that I would open up multiple... like craft boxes and put the extra cheese from the other boxes into my so there would be like all these boxes with no cheese.
So my mom and I were born a day apart. I ate all the marshmallows at a Lucky Charms.
I was like, oh, this is before rainbows too. That is a really fun fact. So yeah, Paloma and I are like 12 hours apart. It's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, that is
same year, just 12 hours apart. So it's
crazy.
The energy was not far.
No. And as one of your best friends, it makes it very easy to have birthdays when you're like, nope, one here, one here. So.
And then my little Luna bug is born on the 19th. So 17th, 18th, 19th. So
it's just perfect.
We're Scorpio Spices.
But we love them. We wouldn't have y'all anyway. It's so funny that we are so into yoga and yet truck driver food is what the two of you
love most. It's what brings me happiness.
Which is so, I love it. You guys are so fun. So another question I wanted to ask you about Herb Indie Life. So this was a blog you started a year ago, 2 years? Where are we?
Oh my gosh. It was a year ago. No. 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Less than 2 years.
We're going to have to deep like.
Yeah, we're going to have to deep like on that.
And we'll figure it out.
October will be 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Cool. So what made you want to start a yoga blog?
Well, I mean, I think, okay, so just being completely honest, I'm eventually going to be launching a product, but the baby kind of put a halt on all of that. And so I initially started the blog to kind of create a platform for that, but then it just kind of turned into its own thing, because yoga is honestly about connecting with other people, and social media is about connecting with other people, so what better way to connect with other people is to connect about yoga on social media.
Exactly.
And it's really honestly a creative outlet. I started like wanting to kind of post and kind of even for myself, see my own progress with photos and videos and things like that. And, you know, sometimes Facebook is just not the place to put all of that.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to pick and choose.
Like, yeah. Like that gets really old when like the same, 50 people are seeing my yoga videos over and over again. So it was really more of a creative outlet. And so I started my Instagram, and then a blog that went along with that. And it's yoga, but also lifestyle stuff. So just what are some of the other things? Fashion, probably baby stuff is going going to be taking over a little bit on there, at least temporarily.
Which is great. I mean, people have babies all the time. I mean, especially knowing and seeing somebody that's gone through it, you're like, okay, yes, it is possible to, you know, have this pregnancy and still do yoga.
Exactly.
And then, you know, post-baby, you're like, yes, I can still do this. Paloma did it, I can do it
too. So you have a product coming out, which is going to be TBD.
Yeah, it actually was really close to coming out, and then I found out I was pregnant, and then...
pushed it back.
I didn't want to be launching a product with a newborn, so...
Yeah, no, you're smart.
So it's like, it's there. It's just finding the right time to kind of get it moving. So I have a patent and everything ready on it. It's ready to go. It just needs to be manufactured. So that's that. But then as far as the blog goes, like I'll kind of break down different yoga postures or just talk about different controversial. I like kind of spicing it up on my blog post.
I feel like if I don't piss off
a couple people, it wasn't a good post.
Right.
Like who wants to read like something?
Everything's rainbows and sunflowers.
Yeah, you can't have the same opinion and appreciate like every aspect if you're not willing to discuss the other side of it.
Like I want to like stir it up a little just to make it interesting. So I'll bring up like some controversial topics or just different, and some stuff is just rainbows and butterflies.
Well, this, I mean, I'd love to get your opinion on this. I feel like yoga in the social media world has gotten, it goes in all kinds of directions.
It does.
Where do you think you see the biggest difference, like even just like in the 2 years that you've had Herb Indie Life, like where do you think social media and yoga have either helped or hurt?
I mean, social media has gotten the word of yoga out for sure. I mean, when I started yoga, which was really not even that long ago, like 2011, nobody did yoga. I mean, it was kind of this little like cult following, you know, and then in the last, I want to say 3 years, it has just exploded into the $16 billion industry. And that's amazing. But then with that comes the negative aspect of that. So the positive part is that it's reaching so many people and so many people can benefit from yoga. And then the negative part is that people are taking yoga to places that it shouldn't necessarily go in terms of, I don't know, maybe being a little dogmatic or judgy or, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sure all the other moms can like appreciate like the mom judging. And it's like, there's like yoga judging going on.
Yes.
And I'm like, a company.
You had a great blog post about that too. Maybe you should revisit that and like relink that. Maybe we will, because I felt like it was perfect because it does exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yoga judging does exist.
Yoga, it does.
And I think the other thing that I've noticed is social media, like there's a lot of yogis who are just very advanced and they're posting stuff. And so I think sometimes like brand new students will come to class and be like, I want to learn how to do a handstand or how to,
like, that's a super advanced pose.
Let's think about all the steps to get there.
And learn that along the way too. But I think it sometimes can create some injuries and things like that. So that's another thing. I think people used to just be so happy doing those postures that we were talking about earlier, like that I just love so much right now. And it's not always about the party trick, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Have you ever been bullied online, or have you ever had any like negative?
I have
negative...
had more drama in yoga than I have in any other part of my life.
Really?
It is. That is the other thing.
Hi, Harla.
Babies. Yeah.
You can grab her if you want to grab her. It's okay.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay, yeah.
Hold on.
It is a good thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things.
You've had yoga drama online or just in the spectrum of yoga in your
both.
Life?
Yes. I mean, it just comes out everywhere. I mean, people saying that you shouldn't do this or that, or maybe even kind of nitpicking your postures and saying that, you know, you shouldn't do it this way or that way, and not in like a constructive way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even just like at studios and things like that, it's just, yoga's just, you know, humans are humans, and yoga is a lot of times, you know, a community. And so when you bring a lot of people together, there's just going to be
lots of vibes.
Certain vibes. And that's the thing, like for me, yoga's been such a solo sport And people think of it as such a community-driven thing. Mm-hmm. And I started it as a runner needing alone time. And so I would come, you know, to the studio. I still do this. Go to the studio and 30 minutes early just to have quiet time. And, you know, it's so nice to, like, see your friends there. But, like, people want to come and talk. And sometimes I just really want that time. And so I ended up – we built a house this past year, and I have a yoga studio inside the house, and that is like, it's been so nice just to bring it back to having that meditative alone time. And I love seeing my friends, and I you know, like that during class and after class, but that like 30 minutes before class, I just I crave that going inward. And it's really difficult to do. So I always, you know, really encourage my students to find some form of that quiet time, because it's hard to find at a studio at home, even if it's just, you know, a few minutes in the morning to sit and meditate.
We are in my meditative space, so
I love this space. We're in Shannon's.
It's my closet. Absolutely.
It's super comfy and cozy.
We're
here.
Very open about where we podcast, and
I'm just looking at Shannon's beautiful shoes.
And we're on a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
So things can happen. It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing.
Exactly.
But
it's very functional.
But it makes sense in our lives.
Exactly.
Well, I think that those meditative moments help you combat a lot of those probably negativity that might come at you. And I agree with, like, the community is community driven, but I think when you bring these energies together, yoga creates like a passion because it releases so many things. It releases demons, and it releases, you know, maybe some energies that you weren't ready for. So I think everyone takes on that passion, and that passion can sometimes outwardly be expressed in not such a positive way. So maybe our listeners, if you're into that, into yoga, let's just, you know, be mindful of everyone's practice.
It's sometimes tricky. I think it's when you need that quiet time, like I, like before I had a yoga space at home, and really you can make any space a yoga space, and I know that now. But, when I needed that space, it would come across as maybe a little standoffish, I think. But it's just because I was being quiet because I needed that for me.
Well, it is a sacred space. So, there's a reason you move your shoes and you have quiet voices, quiet your mind.
So if you ever see me and I'm like not super talkative before class, anyone listening, it's not because I don't love you.
It's just you need your time. You need your quiet time.
And then it's funny because the way I teach is usually a pretty lively class. But just those quiet moments.
No, I love that. And I love your honesty about that too, because I think, you know, I think being in this space and in this community, like, it's hard to let people see both sides of that, because, you know, when you are in front of people, you know, you do, you have a happy blog and it's great, and, you know, and it's all these great poses and it's beautiful, but there's a real side to Paloma too. And it's, you know, I always enjoy when people are like, no.
And your well-known face. So if you see your face, you're like, oh, they want to chat with you.
That's
fun.
Do we want to stop and get Parlo, or do we?
Yeah, do you want to do that? Because we're just going to ask you our last couple questions. Is there anything that you do, like, to psych yourself up, like, whether it's you're trying something new, or if you're just maybe getting into a new thing and you're like, I'm kind of nervous, but is there something like,
how do you get hyped?
How do you get hyped?
You know, it's kind of funny you ask that. I think of yoga competition when you ask that question. And like, before I go on stage, I'm actually someone who's like always kind of already hyped up. Like, I'm like a really anxious person. So I kind of have to like bring myself down and talk myself like off.
It's all
so like whenever I'm doing anything, like I just think, oh, like, well, especially with yoga competition, like you've done this a million times. Like I literally visualize myself doing it in a setting where I've done it a million times. And so that's kind of, I guess that's a way to kind of hype yourself too. Like, you've got this, like you've done this a million times. So I think one of the biggest things with yoga is visualization, as far as alignment, progress and everything. And so I think I visualize myself in a scenario with everything going well.
Cool. Yeah, I love that.
I love that. That's good. That's a really good one.
Do you do that one?
And it's my superpower.
We're going to lump them all together. Okay, so how do you find your zen? We kind of visited about this a little bit, but is there someplace else you might find your zen other than Herb Indy Loft or those 30 minutes before class?
I posted something, speaking of social media, we've done a lot of that today, about like surrounding yourself with people who feel like sunshine. And that's, like, how I find my zen. I love that. I went through a phase, we talked about, like, the yoga drama and all that, where I'm just, like, actually, Tony Sanchez, when I trained with him, he talked about how he had to, part of being a yogi is, like, kind of taking the high road sometimes, but it's also, which I think people don't think about as much, is not allowing yourself to be a doormat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when I like started to think about that more, I started to just not put myself in situations where I was around people who didn't feel like sunshine. Mm-hmm. And I would say like the last couple of years when I really, you know, harnessed that mentality, I don't ever really feel stressed in that way anymore. I just, so I think it's really about finding your people, finding your tribe.
Yeah.
And that is not an exclusive term. I've had people kind of ask about what tribe really means. Mm-hmm. Tribe is like your community of people who feel like sunshine.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
And so that's how I find my zen, I think. And then just, it's a matter of finding people that feel like sunshine and also finding that time that I need that's quiet and meditative. And it's that balance in my life. And that's zen to me. Because you can't do too much of that quiet, meditative time.
Right.
I know, Harlow. I'm sorry, baby. Give me 2 more minutes.
She wants to be part of the girl.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, can you blame her?
I mean, no. She's so gosh darn cute.
No. She's like, Mom, so I am your zen.
You can't really go too far one way or the other. And I think yoga, having a baby, is all about balance, too. And it's all, you know, always the student, always learning with that.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Those are two beautiful ones. A little sped up. We have the most fun, and I know how you're going to answer this one, I think. Yeah. Coffee or wine?
Is there, like, we need to invent a wine coffee.
I know.
It would solve, like, 90%
all of the
problems.
Yeah,
it really would. I mean, it would hype you up and bring you down.
Exactly,
at the same time.
Yeah. And you don't have to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
But, like, if you
can
have
be team.
Yeah.
So you can be team.
Wine. But Brittany knows that when I drink my coffee, it has to be, like, scalding, basically. Not even a shade off of scalding, like what you were talking about. It has to, like, burn my mouth hot. And soup, anything liquid.
It's got to go down and be, like, almost, it's almost too hot. Like, and that's when you know it's just right. You're like, I feel like it's, like, the flavors.
I don't think I could live without either one. I think, you know, I've been taking a hiatus from wine with the whole baby situation. So right now in my life, coffee is going to be the winner.
Yes. Yeah. It takes off of that meditative reprieve in the morning. Like, I look forward to it.
I miss being able to just drink a couple glasses of wine, though, and not, like, have to worry about it. Like, I had a phone call with a friend the other day, and she was like, I'm really hungover. I'm like, is that weird that I'm a little bit jealous?
A little bit jealous of your hangover.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Yeah, coffee is winning right now.
Awesome.
We really appreciate you doing this. 7 weeks in, having a newborn and us asking you over here.
It
was kind of a hard
thing. No, but you let him bring her feed her and do all this crazy stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
While talking.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
She actually participated.
She was
great.
Yeah.
It was good.
She did great. I mean, I'm amazed. My kids would have never acted like this. So, once again, you can find Paloma on Her Bendy Life on Instagram.
It's her_bendy_life.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have all that in, like, the show notes and all that ooey gooey stuff. And she does have a blog too. So check out her website and all the
all kinds of stuff. Awesome.
Carlos is going to take us out.
Yeah, baby.
See you next time, friends.